Welcome to the fifth class of NBC Academy's Heart of Conflict. I'm Jim Manske.
And this is Jory Manske.
Welcome, everybody. Let's get started with a little self-connection exercise. For the purposes of this exercise, you don't really need anything other than your heart.
What we're inviting you to bring to this exercise is your full attention, to have an opportunity to notice what it's like to clearly put your attention on something with full intention.
And I like to begin by just noticing my breath, to get myself centered and to just focus on the present moment. And then to get clear on what your intention is for doing this exercise. And then the invitation just to scan your body for areas of tension or constriction, and just to cultivate a sense of presence and permission. Not asking you to try to change anything, but rather just to notice, to observe. To notice any other feelings, physical sensations, or emotions that are present in you right now. And to connect your feelings to your needs. What's alive in you in this moment? Then I'd like to invite you to imagine that someone you care about is in front of you and they are upset about something. And you're able to be with them. You have an intention to be present for them. And your first intuition is to just zip your lip, lean into the conflict that they are experiencing, and open your heart and your ears and your whole body to just being present with them as they express whatever is in their heart. It's as if your intention is very clear that you want only to contribute to their well-being by being present to them. It's as if you can cast a net of permission towards them and allow them to be just as they are. And then you notice your intuition is to acknowledge what's going on for them. So with just a word or two, you acknowledge their experience. And they continue to express what's alive in them as if they're unpeeling their own artichoke, getting closer to the core of what's important to them, and you continue to listen. And then you notice another intuition arising within you that's helping you to connect to what's really important to them in this moment as they're expressing what's their need, what they are valuing. And again, with just a few words, you reflect what you hear is important to the other person. And they express some more, going deeper into their own experience. And then another intuition arises in you to savor the need. Maybe that involves words and maybe it doesn't. But together you savor this need. Then you notice a shift in the other person as you sense their body relaxing, their heart opening. Maybe there's laughter, maybe there's tears, maybe there's some words to express relief. And then it seems as if a new moment has arrived. So in whatever way is important for you to thank this person for being with you, sharing their heart with you, and giving you this opportunity to contribute, take a moment to complete with them. And then again, the invitation to notice how your body feels having had this experience. Noticing any physical sensations and emotions that are present for you. And consider what needs of yours may have been met through this exercise. And or any needs of yours that may have not been met by this exercise. And just give yourself permission to have had whatever experience you have. And then to consider what would make your life more wonderful now. What requests do you have of yourself? Or what requests do you have of Jory or Jim today? I'd like to invite you to sharpen your sensory acuity skills. We are missing one channel of information, which is the visual. However, that does manage to heighten two other channels. Our ability to hear seems to be enhanced. And then I also think it enhances our kinesthetic sense of what might be present in another person. And these two skills can be utilized to track the bubble of pain, which is a concept that we introduced last week. So as we go through the day, the invitation is to watch this bubble of pain as it grows and shrinks and gets passed from one disputant to the other in the role play, and just to get a sense of the intuitive feel of how that bubble shifts and changes in response to certain things that a mediator can do, like to acknowledge the pain, to link a feeling to a need, to do a passive empathy, or to savor, or even to do some other things like find yourself reflecting a judgment or asking someone to reflect a feeling, which are not things that we recommend, but sometimes they happen in a mediation, and just might notice what happens with the bubble of pain there too.
Now I want to point to the sensory acuity a little bit more. When we're listening to a voice, there is a variety of pitch and volume and speed at which people are speaking. And all of that gives us information. We may not know for sure because some people may have habitual patterns of speaking very slow or very rapidly and high, or whatever that is. But we're looking for the changes that happen in the voice tone and rhythm and volume. And that gives us information about emotional states. And then in terms of the kinesthetic, we can watch our own body in relationship to what is happening. And we don't always know whether that is our own feelings being triggered about something that is external from what happened previously in relationship to what's happening now. But it's an opportunity for us to get curious about that. So we hear what someone says and we notice some uneasiness within ourselves, to just coach ourselves back and watch for some uneasiness from them. We feel a flash of anger in ourselves. Just pay attention. Is there some anger, perhaps, over here? And that can lead us to the empathic guesses that we make to check out what's going on for someone else. So take whatever cues we have and use them to connect to what's going on in the other person. And of course, not to deny that sometimes it's about connecting with ourselves. We feel something really persistent, to really acknowledge what's going on for us. It's so important that we have an integrous relationship with ourselves to be able to shift our attention to the other.
Well, actually, there's one other thing that I would like to say about empathy. And it's in response to something that I heard one of you say when you were checking in. What I heard was something like, I couldn't guess right about what someone was feeling or needing. And for me, empathy is not about guessing right about what somebody else is needing. Empathy emerges from the consciousness of curiosity and presence. We may make a guess about what another person is feeling and needing, but the empathy is in the guessing, not in the guessing correctly. For me, the worst thing that can happen is really the best thing that can happen. For example, if Jory is upset about something, and I'm listening to her, and my intuition is to reflect back what I hear is important to her. And I say, so it sounds like you're angry. Is it around your need for respect? And she responds with, no, it's not about respect. It's about a sense of mutual understanding. Well, that's great for me, because she's now helping me to connect more deeply with what's alive in her. So I can focus my attention on mutual understanding and beginning to savor that need. So I can let go of respect in this moment and move my attention, my empathic attention, towards mutual understanding, recognizing that it's likely to switch again and shift again moments from now, that this is a dynamic process. And that even if I guessed correctly 10 seconds ago, by the time that she actually has reported whether I have guessed right, it might have shifted already and shift again. The main point I'm trying to make is that the essence of empathy is in an open-hearted acceptance of what another person's state is, like a sense of permission. And then we might have the intuition to make a guess about what that state is. But it's not important at all whether we guess right. I'd just like to pause here and see if there's any questions about that piece.
I was the person who spoke. I appreciated what you said. And the last part of what I heard you said is an open-hearted acceptance of what the other person is feeling.
Is feeling and needing, exactly. Whatever their state is, it's an open-hearted acceptance, like a permission. That helps to maintain some presence.
The piece that is missing in this interaction with my mother is that rather than giving me some more information, she just says, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. Whereas what you just gave us an example of is a person who is responding with some information we can work with.
Yes, I'm guessing that's frustrating for you, because you would really like to have some clarity about what might be going on in your mom.
Exactly.
So just play that for a moment with me. You be your mother. Mom, are you feeling a bit frustrated right now because you're wanting to have some choice about what happens?
No, you don't understand me. No one understands me. No, I'm not feeling frustrated.
Yeah, so how much you would like to be understood?
I really want to be understood, but I'm a very complicated person. Even the astrologers tell me no one will ever understand me, and that is true.
Yeah, I imagine that's really frustrating to think that you'll not be understood.
It's not frustrating. I understand. Nobody will ever understand me. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. So you have some acceptance.
What do you mean acceptance?
So you accept that sometimes you're not understood.
I'm never understood, and I accept that. No one will ever understand me. I'm a deep person.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to be understood?
Well, my sense is my mother would say, no, I don't need anything from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
Yeah. What did you notice that I did?
I didn't. I was too much in the role of my mother.
So what did other people notice that I did?
What I heard was you reflecting back feelings and needs.
Yeah, so I just stayed with her wherever she was.
And so mother was able to go into a deeper level slowly and opening up to confirming the need and then opening up to even more information.
Yeah, handing it back to her. Handing whatever I got from her back to her as a gift. Not throwing it back to her, but just handing it back to her as a gift. It's hers, being with that.
I heard you say, would you like to be understood?
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was opening up a whole nother opportunity for her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have that same experience as you played your mother?
Yes, that was the only time I stopped. I think a key here might be in asking a question, because the premise she operates from is, don't tell me what to do. And so if I say, are you feeling, do you need, she hears it as being told what to do, whereas a question feels to me it might create an opening.
There's also another piece to that, that when I said that, I moved from the lack of it to the appreciation of something that she might want. It depletes energy if we stay at what's missing. If we just shift the perspective to, oh, understanding. You would really like to be understood. Or would you be understood? So it's actually pointing to the vitality of it, the life of it. It's something that we all value.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. One last thing before we move into the role plays. We just got back from a training trip teaching mediation. And on the third day, we were with a group that we had either been involved in 2 days of training this year or last year. So they were, I guess, intermediate students. And I took the opportunity to play the role of disputant in our role play. And I learned two lessons that I wanted to pass on to you, because it was such a rich and profound experience for me to play the role of disputant. The first one is how important it was for me when I was in the role of disputant to have a sense of presence from the mediator. And what I mean by presence is not only how they were in terms of they seemed like they were with me, looking at me and being with me and giving space, but also the reflections that they offered me were about what was happening right now in the role play, not about what had happened earlier in the dispute or even 5 minutes ago in the mediation, but about what was going on for me just after I had finished speaking. That was really connecting for me. And I noticed that when mediators reflected something that had happened 5 minutes ago or 5 weeks ago in the role play, it disconnected me from the present moment and disconnected me from my own feelings and needs. So having a sense of presence through reflections offered about what had just happened really supported me. And the second thing is brevity. When a mediator offered just a few words, it was much easier for me to stay present and connected than when they wanted to repeat everything that had happened. So that's a little bit about my experience of being a disputant, and I offer that to the folks who will play the role of mediator today as something that you can practice, having your reflections be in the present and as brief as possible.
Okay, so moving into practice, you had talked about a family challenge, and I wonder if you are wanting to give us a brief setup for a mediation today.
Sure, because I'd like to move a little forward within myself, if possible, over this situation. Went through a divorce about 15 years ago with an adulterous situation, and then when my son married, there was family events that happened, and the one that's happening now is my granddaughter's first communion. I've told them that, yes, I would be willing to be there during these actual events, and I have requested that time be made for me to spend with the family either before or after these events. They seem to run into a real glitch about that. Now my son has talked to his father and said, I would like you guys to work this out. My point of view is I need to have my son and daughter-in-law make space for me, not my ex-husband.
Who is the mediation between? Who are the two parties?
I think it would be between me and my son.
We have a pretty good sense of where you are. I wonder if you'd be willing to play your son in this.
Yeah.
Okay. Who would be willing to play Donna in this mediation?
I'd be happy to play Donna.
Okay, so Richard is the parent, and Jonna will play the son or the child. So the parent and the child, and I think you have a pretty good idea of your role at this point, Richard?
I think so.
Okay, so that leaves the rest of us to be practicing.
Everyone will be playing the role of co-mediator throughout the entire process. Two things that I'd like to invite you to do as you play the role of co-mediator. One is to practice presence. Practice presence just by projecting your presence towards the disputants and keeping your focus on the present moment by focusing on observations, feelings, needs, and requests.
And what that looks like is if you start to drift, to just coach yourself to go back to being present and focused on what's happening right now.
And one thing that can support you in doing that is have a piece of paper in front of you with maybe with a line drawn down the middle of it or whatever works for you, with Ethan on the top of one column and Mom on the top of the other column. And then just write down the needs that you hear as the parties go through their dispute. That will also, I'm guessing, support you in having a sense of presence if you focus on the needs.
Another thing to stay very present to is to listen for the voice tone. Notice the tone, the pitch, the rhythm of the voices that you're hearing, and see what they may be telling you about the state of the person who is speaking. And also notice any physical sensations or emotions that arise within you, and see if you can be curious about how that may relate to the experience of the participants.
And one last thing will be the signal that you'll hear when your turn is ending. It'll sound like this. And that just means that if you're in the middle of speaking, that you finish whatever you're doing, and then it'll transfer to the next mediator. If you're kind of in the middle of a process, then follow your intuition about when to relinquish it to the next mediator. And it's okay if it's messy, and it's okay if we make mistakes with that. You don't have to worry about getting that right. You don't even have to worry about getting the mediation right. You just have fun and enjoy trying this stuff out.
Yeah, in actuality, we're not at risk here of making the conflict worse. We're doing a role play, so this is a great time to practice. I'll start it a little bit. I'll actually begin the mediation and do the first few minutes. And then we'll switch to you, Janelle. In terms of coaching, I'm likely to just sort of step in as a second mediator, try and again keep the flow going here, or I might ask us to rewind to a particular place. So we'll begin. Let's just all take a moment to self-connect and get clear on what our own intention is for this time. To get really clear on why we are moving into this process be able to guide our own experience and as a touchstone to come back to if we get lost, if we lose our presence, to come back to our intention, the way of supporting our presence. The intention may shift, but to be aware of it. So, Mom and Ethan, thank you for joining me today, inviting me to participate with you in working out your whatever's going on for you right now. And my intention is to support a conversation between the two of you that enables each of you to be heard and also for each of you to listen to each other. And to do that, I will be asking you to reflect back the essence of what each person has said. Do you have any questions about that or anything about this mediation right now before we begin?
No.
No, thanks for doing this.
Okay, great. So, since listening to each other can be a bit more challenging in the beginning and because it is so important to the entire process, I'd like to know which one of you has a sense that you could spend some time listening before you get to speak.
I'm happy to listen.
Okay. Thank you, Mom. Ethan, are you willing to speak and tell us what is going on for you?
Sure. Ever since the divorce, it seems like I'm expected to choose sides. And then, there's these special events with the kids. And, you know, Mom, you are just being so selfish about this because we're expected to have two birthday parties and two this and two that. And then when we don't do it just the way you want it to be done, then you refuse to come. And we take pictures and you're not in the picture. You're the only family member that's not in the picture. And it just really, really gets to me.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a bit overwhelming for you in the moment to figure out how you can address what's going on here for your mom, huh?
I don't want to be in between the two of them.
Yeah, so you would like some ease in the relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to carry that over to your mom. Mom, if you would just reflect that what is important to Ethan in this moment is some ease in the relationships. Would you just reflect that?
Yes, I heard Ethan say that he would like some ease in the relationship.
Thank you. So would you tell us what's going on for you?
Well, I think the issue for me is that I still feel a lot of pain from what his father did. And it's real difficult for me to be in a party or in a gathering where he's there still. And all I'm asking for is, why can't I just meet with my granddaughter and the family a little before or after? I'm willing to do either way. I just really don't want to be there when he's there.
Yeah, you'd like to protect yourself from some of the pain that you experience, is that it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it's very painful for me to face him. And I'm not interested so much in Ethan getting between us. It's just difficult.
Yeah, you'd like to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to carry that over to Ethan right now and make sure that piece is heard that's so important to you that you'd like to protect yourself. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Ethan, would you be willing to just reflect that piece about how important it is to protect herself?
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It's all about her. It's all about her. That's what I mean. She's selfish. She's selfish. All she thinks about is herself. Protect herself. How about us?
So that's really stimulating for you. That's really triggering for you because this is so important to you as well. What's happening? Is that it?
Yeah, these are her grandchildren. I'm her son. Jeez, why can't she just put it all aside? You know, it was 15 years ago. Why didn't she just get over it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of pain going on for you right now about this.
Yeah,
and I wonder if you'd be willing to just reflect back that she'd like to protect herself, to make sure that we make sure everybody gets heard before we speak again. Would that work for you right now? And then we can listen to you some more.
Okay. Yeah, she'd like to protect herself.
Thank you. And then to Janelle to just invite Ethan to speak again. Would it work for you, Jana? You just used your own name at this point?
Sure. So thank you for that, Jana. And what's going on for you when you hear that or in relation to that?
Well, it's just that, you know, I'd really like to have some consideration about this. This makes it really, really tough for me and my wife to have to plan every occasion, everything around whether or not Mom is comfortable. And it's just too darn much. We can't just have a party and have everybody come and everybody like each other. And I just don't get it.
But we don't like each other, all of us.
So, Jana, I'm hearing that you really have a need for some ease and simplicity with you and your husband.
Yeah, I'm a grown man. I have a new family. I have my family, and I'd like to have the rest of my family be around us at these celebrations. And yet, Mom does this selfish thing. You know, I just, God, it's so frustrating. Can't just plan a party and have everybody come and have a good time. Can't do that.
So you have a real need for some simplicity and connection with the family.
Yeah, I want everybody to be there having a good time and enjoying themselves.
Thank you. So I'd like to ask Mom if you would. I heard that Donna has a need for simplicity and connection. Could you please reflect that back to her? Would you be willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, has a need for simplicity and connection.
Thank you. And what's going on for you around that?
Well, I have the need for that, too. That's why I think it would be really much simpler if we just didn't have to dredge up all of the stuff over and over and over. You know, I mean, why can't we just, and so we have two birthday parties, or so we have two celebrations. Is there anything wrong with that?
So I'm hearing that you would also like some simplicity and connection.
Sure. I mean, I want to be a part of the family, too.
Okay. So I'd like to take that over to Jana. Jana, would you confirm that you heard that Mom has the same need for simplicity and family connection?
Yeah, I'm hearing her say that, but I don't believe that because of the way this is going. You know, I mean, she says she wants simplicity. If she wants simplicity, why doesn't she just come here and be here for the couple hours of the celebration and then go back home? You know, why does she have to put it on us that we're supposed to make room for her for extra days before or after the party? Just come to the party, enjoy it. We're even willing to have her go off in a separate room for a little while with the kids just to be alone with them. We're even willing to do that. Yeah, I want ease and simplicity.
So I'm hearing that you're feeling really overwhelmed at the moment. Oh, boy. Yeah, so you've got Donnell's drawing a blank.
It's okay to just say, and you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, and see what happens next.
All right. So, Johnny, you're feeling a bit overwhelmed at the moment.
Yeah, I really don't know what to do. I don't know what to do it seems like it's all on my shoulders to have peace in the family. Everybody's expecting me to make peace over all this. My wife, my father, my mother, my sister, my in-laws. Oh, I just don't know what to do.
Teresa to empathize. We just heard with Janelle, just so it's really overwhelming for you.
So, John, it sounds like it's really overwhelming for you to trying to come up with plans that will work for everybody.
Yeah.
Mom, I'm hearing that it's really overwhelming for Jonna to come up with plans that are going to work for everyone. Could you reflect that
Teresa, back? I'm to ask to reflect a feeling that Mom is likely to get defensive because she might feel guilty that it's so overwhelming for her son.
Okay.
It's much more clear to get to a need. So it's safe to say it's overwhelming and leave that space and not fill it in and see what comes up with next, okay?
Okay. So John, I'm hearing that it's really overwhelming for you.
Yeah. I can't make everybody happy. Seems like no matter what I do, somebody's unhappy. If Mom would just get over it, just, you know, like I said, it's been 15 years, just get on with it. Just, it's over, it's done, forget it.
You're really wanting to find a way where everyone can be at ease with each other. You're hoping for that.
Yeah.
So, Mom, can you reflect back to Jonna that desire she has for that need for ease of and connection in these events?
Sure, she has a need for ease and connection when we get together.
Mm-hmm.
And so do I.
And so do you. Mm-hmm. So, what goes on in you when you hear that?
Feels good. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be easy. I want to connect. I just don't want to connect with him.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why he can't understand that. He knows the pain that we've been through.
So you're really wanting some understanding for how painful this is for you.
Well, sure.
Mm-hmm. So to carry that over to Jonna, can you hear that Mom really needs some understanding, is really wanting some understanding that it's very painful for her to...
So you don't need to give her the whole understanding. Otherwise, you're representing what's going on for... There's a level of imbalance that happens if you do that.
Okay.
So just try it again.
Could you reflect back to your mom that desire she has for understanding?
I know she'd like to have some understanding, but it's just beyond me. It's just...
Thank you for reflecting that. And that's really stimulating for you, huh?
And that's really stimulating for you.
I didn't create the problem. It was their marriage. It's not mine. I didn't make the problem. And so why is it on me to have to somehow figure out how to take care of this crap that they created?
So it's really frustrating for you.
Yeah.
Ethan, I hear that this is very exhausting for you, that you don't want to be put in the middle and having to solve the problem for them.
Yeah, it's not my problem. They should be taking care of this. You know, they should be talking to each other and taking care of this, not me.
Yeah, so you want some ease around the subject. You just want to be left out.
Yeah, they're the ones that ruined their marriage. I didn't ruin their marriage. Boy, it's sure starting to ruin mine.
Yeah, so there is some concern about protecting your own marriage.
Yeah. I'm trying to take care of my marriage. I'm trying to take care of my kids. And why can't she just come here and, you know, why does she have to have extra time with the kids? I don't get it. Why don't she come and be at the party and then leave? Why does she want us to
have an extra day for her. Selfish.
So there is expectation that she has seems to be rather overwhelming to you.
Yeah, because my wife doesn't want to be pulled into it either, and so it means that we have to make room, that, you know, extra room.
So this is extremely stressful for you, and you just want some ease, I guess.
Yeah.
Ah, thank you. I'm going to check in with Mom. Mom, would you reflect back that Ethan just needs some ease?
Sure, Ethan just needs some ease.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how you feel now hearing that.
Well, I mean, I understand that. I don't know how to make it easier. I've told him what I want.
Yes, you're confused, but you have some understanding of how you can support him?
Well, I thought by explaining what really would work for me, it was helpful. I thought maybe that would be helpful. And I don't see that as being a big deal. I don't need a whole lot of time. I just thought, you know, to have an opportunity to hug my granddaughter after her first communion without her grandfather there wouldn't be a terribly bad thing to expect. I didn't know that was going to create a crisis in their marriage.
So you're surprised to hear that this may cause some crisis?
Well, yeah, and I'm surprised that there's so much energy put into that.
You hadn't expected so much energy.
Well, it seems fairly simple, you know. I mean, I don't understand why it's difficult. I don't understand why Ethan is making this so difficult.
So you'd like to have some easier talk?
Yes. Sure. I think it is easy.
It's easy, and you'd like to have some understanding of what is making the whole thing complicated.
Sure. Yeah, it seems very easy to me. I mean, it doesn't seem like any big deal. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, I don't want to point to the fact that his father and I can't really communicate anymore. I mean, everybody that's going to be there knows that anyway, but and that we don't have any desire to be in the same room. I mean, he doesn't want to be around me either. And
so it's a fact to you that you do not talk to each other and do not like each other, and I'm wondering if you are longing for acceptance.
Well, would you like somebody if they were unfaithful to you?
Mom, I sense that you take a lot of time out of your life and have to make the trip down to see Ethan and his family, and that you're asking for a little time extra with the family alone?
Well, yeah, and it doesn't have to be the whole family. I just thought it'd be nice to visit with my granddaughter for a few minutes. I mean, I'm not asking for a day. We're just talking about, could I have a conversation with her without having to be there with everybody?
Okay, so I kind of feel like you have a need to have some enjoyment, some joy with the family, and having time alone with just them would bring about that joy. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Ethan, can you hear what? Okay, how to say this right? That your mother, can you reflect that your mother would just like a few minutes of joy with the family and in visiting just your family, your immediate family together?
I'm going to have a pause right here. So if you would just disregard that for a moment, Ethan. You are actually asking Ethan to reflect the strategy that his mother would like.
Okay. Am I aiming towards the joy? Is that a good need to bring about here?
Just stop within yourself right this moment and consider, if she had the time, if she actually got this time to spend with her granddaughter. What would that mean to her?
I believe that that need for joy and, let's see.
So what is it that would be satisfied that would bring that joy?
Yeah, not establish, but continue the closeness with her family.
Wow. Sit with that for a moment.
Okay.
Consider the value of closeness with your family for yourself in this moment. Just really connect with how important that is in life. And from your own connection to the importance of that value, now reflect back to Richard just how important it is to have family connection.
Mom, so I hear you're saying that it's very important to keep that closeness, that connection with Ethan as well as with his family.
Right. That's correct.
Now you have something to carry over.
Okay. Ethan, can you reflect?
We seem to have lost Jackie. I'm going to pick it up from here. So, Mom, I heard how important family connection is for you.
Right. It is.
Yeah, thank you. Ethan, would you reflect just that piece?
I'm hearing Mom say that family connection is really important to her, but if it's that important...
Yeah, it's really important. Yeah, just to sit with that. I'm guessing it's also important to you, family connection.
Yeah, the same thing's important to me, family connection. That's why I want her there.
Yeah, so how much you would like your mom to be part of a whole family connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your family too.
Yeah, and she's my mom, and I love her, and I care about her. But I'm just got all these people pulling me all these different ways. This person wants this, that person wants that. And
yeah, you're hearing so many different things, and you don't know how to create the family connection you would like to.
No, I don't. It just
yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Is that at the core of it for you, family connection? Or is there more?
I just want him to quit putting me in the middle of it. It just seems like if she would just go along with whatever plans we make, if she would just... just come and be there and have a good time and forget about the past. God.
Yeah. So if you weren't in the middle, then you could enjoy the celebration of your daughter, huh?
Yeah.
Mhm.
There's just always this extra stuff around it.
Yeah. You'd like it to be easier and have a focus on the celebration.
Ah, instead of all this crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How hard this is for you.
It's really hard.
You'd love to see some cooperation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if the cooperation was there, then would that bring you, would that lead you to some sense of peace around this event?
Yeah, I could, yeah, I could enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Well, how about I carry that over to your mom in this moment? Mom, would you just reflect that last bit of what Ethan wants?
Hey, Ethan wants to enjoy himself.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, what I'd like to do is do a pause right now for us before the next round. And this time, in the time that you have, stay with the one person. And just stay with empathy for the person that you're speaking with. We're really going to try and harvest those deeper needs right now. And so space is also something to practice with at this time. We'll just be harvesting needs at the end of this next round. So keep a list of the needs that you connect to. Richard just reflected that enjoyment is important to Ethan. So Janelle, if you would then invite Richard to share what's going on for him. And then your job is just to stay with Richard during this time and empathize with him, go and let him go wherever he goes with it. So just say, Richard, so how are you right now?
Richard, how are you right now? What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm okay. I think the thing to do is just go do what you do and let's just see what happens. Don't worry about me.
So you're feeling a little resigned right now?
No, I'm feeling a little sad right now, actually, but that's okay.
So this is sad for you that this is difficult.
Well, it's sad for me that Ethan feels like he's in the middle of it. It's sad for me that he thinks this is his problem. And I can actually see how I'm adding to that problem. And so I think the best thing to do is for them just to plan whatever event they want to plan, invite who they want to invite, and let it go. And what happens, happens. And I just will have to deal with it.
So just stay with that for a moment, Janelle, and check inside yourself. So what do you imagine is underneath all of that for Richard? If you said that, what would be important to you? And then come up with a guess of what that is.
So there's a lot of pain in this for you, Richard. It's just really painful that everything seems so complicated at this really important time for the whole family.
Well, sure, and closeness is important.
So are you feeling a little disconnected?
I might as this progresses, but that's maybe that's okay. In order for the family to get on and Ethan not to have to worry about it. I mean, why would he have to worry about it? His dad's not raising Cain with him.
You just said closeness is important to you, and we'll have Ivory. Are you available? Would you like
yes.
to pick it up
yes.
from the moment he just said, yeah, closeness is important to me?
So closeness is important to you?
Sure.
Yeah.
And harmony, and, you know, and fun, and, you know, I don't want everybody to get together and be long-faced about anything. And Ethan keeps saying, just get over it. So, you know, maybe we just need to get over it.
So I hear that closeness and fun and harmony are very important to you. And you're willing to put aside whatever has been going on that's in the way of that harmony and closeness.
Everything you add after those needs will take him up into his head. Rather than sitting with the needs. And the same thing for Ethan. All of that they can argue about, but they can't argue about the closeness, harmony, and fun.
So you're just parroting all the time? You're just parroting what you hear? There's no...
What I'm doing is I'm taking a yellow highlighter and I'm highlighting the essence of it. I'm not actually parroting. Maybe it sounds like that because I'm saying the same words. I'm really resonating with the needs that he's brought forth.
Well, what Mom also just brought forth was a willingness to let go of the past so that those other things could be present. Was that not, it's not important to reiterate that?
That will move us toward strategy. And before we move toward the strategy, we need a lot of clarity and connection to what's really important here. The strategy will come out of the needs, But if we cloud over the needs with the strategy, then we're not really sitting with that and getting clear on what is important here. It's like deciding what kind of car you're going to make, but not deciding what you're going to use it for and how many people you want to seat and all of that.
It sounds to me like we've been doing maybe an hour or 45 minutes of getting clear on the needs, and it sounds to me like we're just repeating the same needs. Is that not so? Or you just keep on repeating?
Well, closeness, harmony, and fun are new needs that he's coming up with, because now we're staying longer with each person and letting them go deeper.
Got it. Okay, harmony and fun.
I'm going to start your 3 minutes again so that you can just say we're going to go deeper this time and just stay longer with each other. And you've just gotten Richard to a place, having received all that empathy from Janelle, and you can decide if you want to go deeper with him or carry that over. Okay?
Okay. So, Richard, would you repeat what you were saying? Harmony, fun, and there was a third.
Closeness.
Closeness.
Yes.
So what's important to you is harmony, fun, and closeness.
That's correct.
Harmony, fun, and closeness. Ethan, harmony, fun, and closeness are important to your mother. How do you feel hearing that?
The same things are important to me. And that's what my complaint is, that if she doesn't just start going along with this stuff, then all of that gets ruined.
Going along with what stuff? I don't know what you're talking about.
Just be quiet and go along. Just whatever plan we make, Mom, if you would just, come to the party and...
Ethan, thank you. Let's just stay with what we heard was important to both of you. Is harmony, fun, and...
Closeness.
Closeness, yes. That's important to both of you. Right?
Yeah.
Am I hearing that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you. So you both have the same desire for harmony, fun, and closeness.
Yeah, and if she would just, we plan a party, if she'd just come to the party, join in the celebration, and that would happen. I mean, it's not that hard. Get over it.
So, Mom, harmony...
So I'm not sure that Ethan has gotten the empathy he needs for what's going on for him. He's still kind of stuck.
I don't know how to give it to him. So he just said, yes, that's important to him, and if Mom would just do X, Y, and Z. So where do I go with that?
Yeah, so maybe we'll move to the next person whose turn it is. If you would just stay with empathy with Ethan.
So, Ethan, I hear that you share that need for harmony and closeness and fun that your mother has.
Yeah, I want those very same things, and she's getting in the way of it.
So it's difficult to imagine how you could both have those needs met.
Yeah, it's I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I just can't make everybody happy, I'm just caught in the middle of everybody. I'm caught in the middle of my wife and her family and my father and my mother and, man.
Yeah. So you're feeling pretty hopeless.
Yeah. There's just no way that, it's like, why am I expected to make everybody happy about all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. You have a need for some fairness and understanding.
Yeah, somebody why can't you all just be happy? Leave me alone,
Mm-hmm.
Let me just live my life without having all these, supposed to do this for this one and that for that one. And
yeah, sounds like you're really tired of carrying that responsibility.
I am really tired of it. I'm so sick of it. Just sick of it.
You're really longing for some ease.
Yeah.
And some understanding for your own pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is it all about them? Why isn't anybody thinking about what this is doing to me?
Mm-hmm. About how hard this is for you.
It is really hard, and it seems like that never gets talked about. It's like, she wants this, he wants that. Yeah, it's yeah. Really, really hard. Then my wife wants something else. And
that sense of just being in the middle of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm tired of being in the middle of it.
So that would go to Giuseppe? You'd stay with empathy for Ethan?
Ethan, so I hear that you really want some space for yourself and just be left alone. Is that it?
Yeah, and for my mom to just quit making it about her.
Ah, you want some ease around the whole thing. You want, you know, some understanding. It's not just about your mom, is it?
No, and it seems like everything gets made about her.
Yeah.
I want it to be about me and my kids and my family and my daughter's communion, this special day. I want it to be about that, not about my mom.
No, you want this to be a time of celebration for your family, especially your daughter.
Yeah.
Ah.
Because that's what it's about, and everything gets turned into being about mom.
Yeah, and you're pretty tired of hearing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single celebration turns out this way. She wouldn't come to Christmas because Dad and this woman were going to be at Christmas, and she wouldn't come to McKenna's birthday party, and she wouldn't come to Ashley's baptism, and...
So, just puzzled that you want the celebrations to remain celebration, and it's very hard to understand the meaning of your mom's actions.
Yeah, it's just every single one turns into being about her instead of being about the baptism or the birthday or the communion, these special things. It turns into being about mom instead of about what's being celebrated.
Yeah, so celebration is very important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. So, mom, you heard Ethan, would you be willing to reflect back that celebration is very important to him?
Sure, celebration is very important to him.
Thank you, thank you.
It is to me too.
Yeah, so celebration is important to you too?
Yes.
Yeah, there seem to be something that is not allowing the celebration to be celebrated. Sounds like something comes in between.
Oh, it's just his dad.
It's just his dad. So it's very hard for you to celebrate when his dad is there.
It is.
Hey, Jackie?
So, Mom, I hear you want to enjoy celebration with your family.
That's correct.
But you also reflected that you can't do that when your ex-husband is in the room.
Yeah, well, I said earlier, just go ahead and do the thing and let me work it out. I offered that, and Ethan keeps wanting to go back and talk about, you know, how it's a problem. So all I'm saying is just go ahead and do it.
I have a question. My sense of direction would be to bring in the feelings that Mom is having about her ex-husband, but is that appropriate to this conversation?
I would say that those are the deeper needs we haven't gotten to.
That's my sense also. Okay, so it would be appropriate. Okay.
How painful it is for you, or, you know, or just the passive empathy about what it's like for her to be with her ex-husband.
Okay. Okay. So, Mom, I hear how painful it is to have your ex-husband in the room with you when you're enjoying this time with the family.
Well, wouldn't you feel the same way?
Well,
back to him. Put it back to him.
Okay. Well, how is it being hard to be in the room? What type of feelings bring on this hardness?
Well, it's hard to be close with someone that has abandoned you for someone else.
So I hear you felt abandoned in this whole relationship. Over the last 15 years, you're feeling this abandonment?
Well, sure. I mean, we'd been married for 20 years, and, you know, all of a sudden, he's got to go do something else. So everything that we worked for all these years is thrown out the window. And, you know, and he's gone on with his life doing something else, and, you know, and I'm trying to do what I can to keep our family together and all that, and he comes in and out and whatnot, and I don't feel good about how I was treated, or, you know, it's not the kid's problem at all, and I don't want to make it the kid's problem.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I sense a lot of sadness with the relationship with your ex-husband as with your son, in feeling that no one really understands that feeling.
Well, the reason it's so difficult is because it reminds me of where we could be.
So it's really touching that place of sadness for you.
Sure.
About, yeah, just what you miss in terms of that family connection.
All right.
And that intimacy, yeah.
And maybe some regret for what you wanted this family to be, what your dream was that was never realized.
Well, and what we were. You know, he gave it all up. He gave all of it up for, you know, someone else. That's just the way it is. And, you know, and I hate that we have to keep reliving this crap, as Ethan calls it, but it's painful crap. You know, it's still real. It still hurts. It's still there.
So I hear that you want some acknowledgement for the pain that you are feeling in a relationship that was really torn apart by a lot of things that you didn't want to have happen.
Well, sure. Sometimes I don't feel like they understand what that's like, and it's not their fault. It's not Ethan's fault and the kid's fault at all. It didn't have anything to do with them. But just to say get over it, you know, I mean, that's really easy to do. It's really easy to say. It's just not easy to do.
Sure, sure. I understand you want that acknowledgement.
I'd like to get over it, too.
Sure.
I'd like to get it behind us so we don't have to even talk about this stuff anymore.
So we've come to the end of that period, and I'd like to take a break at this point and move us into the debrief. So first for us each to just connect with ourselves and just sense where we are, having played whatever role we've played in this. And been a party to this experience. Notice the feelings, your own feelings, what's going on inside of you, and inquire about what are your feelings telling you about the state of your needs. And we'll move into a debrief, starting with our dispute and starting with you, Jonna.
It's interesting because I'm kind of like a three-headed person here. I understand all the things that I reported from the perspective of Ethan are things that I have heard from him in the past. And it was interesting that Richard, as me, at one point in time went, well, just let them plan whatever they're planning and I'll just do whatever I'm doing. Because as me, that's what I was feeling. It's like, oh, just plan the party. I'll be there for the party. I'll leave. So there was that dynamic that happened. And then the dynamic of being aware of the coaching and that the coaches were not going to let me off the hook that easily. That the coaches were going to, from the perspective of my head of watching the coaching and the coaches, being as mom, the importance of the coaches not letting me off the hook. That's where I'm at with it for right now.
Yeah, so you were playing both roles at the same time. And how was it for you to play your son's role?
It helped me deepen an understanding of where he's at, even though I'm still mystified about, you know, what in the world to do with it. I understand his pain, and it was, you know, I have some tears in my eyes because of that pain, and I know that pain's there for him. I'm just not sure how to get out of it and still hold on to my integrity without going to that very place that Richard went of, oh, just have the party.
So you're able to touch the pain that he experiences.
Yes.
That's really, it's not only his pain, but you share that pain with him.
Yes, absolutely.
And can you make any observations about anything that any of the mediators did that you sense helped you to get more connected to either yourself or to the other party?
I think it was Ivory said she was feeling that same thing, that we were kind of going back and forth with the same, oh, so you'd like ease. Oh, so you would like ease, Mom. And at a certain point in time, it started getting deeper. And I was sitting here as Ethan listening to Richard being Mom and thinking connection, closeness, connection. And the mediators got there with them, getting underneath the ease, getting to closeness and connection. Then an awareness that as they kept on, I believe you call it mining the needs, then it got down to harmony and fun and celebration. And I loved when Giuseppe said, oh, there's something that is not allowing this celebration to be celebrated. That one hit me.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Is there more that you want to say, or does that feel complete for you?
At this point, complete.
So let's check in with Richard in role. And how are you right now in role?
I really kind of just got to the point of saying, what the hell? You know, let's just go on and do it. And what was interesting is the first time I tried that, Jory didn't let me go there. It was important because the need was connection. And that's what I gave up.
Yeah. So by being persistent and staying with you and empathizing with you, it helped you to go deeper.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's really, 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 really important. This is real important to me because this is exactly where my family is with the opposite roles. So my wife is the one who moved out of the family, and we have the same identical thing going on, and it's been going on for 15 years. Isn't that amazing? And you know, and we've said some of the same things to her. Just get over it. Come on, you know, be a part of the deal. And after 15 years, she still can't do it. So there's a lot of, you know, having to stay separate from that while doing this. But it was very, very helpful because if we don't get clear on those needs, and they're really deep, I'm beginning to understand why she cannot come. I understand that. You know.
So it helped you to empathize with her more.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's I could really feel the pain from her side. I don't really feel it, but as you know, I'm the one saying get over it. You know, you're the one's got the problem, and I'm not holding any grudge against you about that. But why can't you even look at me? I didn't leave you. It's an interesting scenario, and it's very powerful.
Very powerful to empathize with the other person, to really understand what their needs are and have compassion for it.
Right.
I'd like to make a distinction, though, between not letting someone go there, because that wasn't my intention. It wasn't my intention to stop the person from going there. It was my intention to be fully with what was underneath the desire to go there.
And then if they chose to go there, I mean, that's not mine to decide or ours to decide as a mediator. Our job is just to empathize it so you feel hopeless. You really would like to fill in the blank of the need, you know, and you'd like to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't remember what I said, but it's clear to me that I don't have an intention in stopping people from going someplace.
Well, I found that to be helpful, though.
Totally go into them. You want to jump off a cliff? I'm totally there with you. You want to jump off the cliff?
Yeah, yeah. I was avoiding the feelings about that, and that's the reason I made that. I mean, so what I did was just give in and say, okay, then just do it. Don't worry about the rest of it.
Be empathize with that, just the giving in. Just to empathize with being in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Richard. Is there anything else you'd like to say to finish up the role for you?
No, I'm complete.
So I'd like to thank the two disputants for playing this role and for the authenticity that you brought to it, and invite you to let it go and take with you any of the learning that you had, and just to let go any of the stuff. But just to integrate this experience and then to move into more of an observer role and to finish the debrief with us. And let's go around the circle and talk to the mediator and find out what your experience was like, especially to hear what you're celebrating about your mediation practice here and what you learned, starting with Janelle.
Right now I'm feeling pretty overwhelmed. A lot happened in that, and I did notice that there were times when my discomfort with the back and forth had me wanting to move things along a little bit quicker. But the main thing that I noticed was with the instructions at the beginning, say with the present feelings and needs, it seemed to me that it wasn't possible to sort of go into a deeper level of empathy with the mom, who really did seem to have some issues on safety. And also, there was something in there about authenticity, maybe an integrity, that she couldn't just go to the party and fake it. So where she had the need for connection and all of that, I found it seems like a lot of the pain came from the past, and there was future anticipation of pain. Anyway, there was some confusion there for me in that idea of staying right in the moment. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. How much the mind moves toward the past or the future instead of the present, and you're confused on how you actually stay with that right here, right now.
I think you were saying I was confused with how to stay there. It seemed like it did actually move when somebody came in and started talking about that. The empathy level when it went into, so breakup of the marriage was really painful for you and blah, 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 that did actually look like it served to mine for some needs.
Yeah, she has some current needs that are triggered by past events, and we just stay with that. And I heard you actually come up with another need that you sensed was a need for authenticity.
Yes.
Yeah, so we would go with that. You just really like to be authentic in your relationships. And she might talk about the past, and she might talk about the future. Empathizing with the needs that are up right now are not to limit the person from where they go. Sometimes there is a need to integrate what happened before. If I were to acknowledge the present state, I just did, there's a need right now to integrate. What's integrated is the past. See the difference?
Yep. Yeah. Very much.
That's the difference. Thanks.
Is there anything else you'd say to feel complete with the mediation, Janelle?
No, that little bit of feedback really leaves me feeling complete, and I look forward to trying to integrate that information.
Okay, thanks. And then Ivory is next.
I understood we can actually listen to these classes, and I'd like to do that as I'm at a loss for the process. It sounded like things were being said that weren't being addressed, and I felt that we were going to keep on going in circles. So I heard the son say something like he felt responsible for what was going on between mom and dad, and that never got addressed, and it felt like until that was acknowledged, we wouldn't move forward. And he also sounded or said something about being angry with his mother for breaking with his father, and that didn't get addressed. So I just would like to hear this whole call over again, because I, after a while, just felt I wasn't connecting to what you all were doing, especially when I got on. Well, I don't know. You said we were getting deeper. To me, it was just more adjectives were being used, but I didn't hear the actually getting deeper. It's like putting coating on something. That's how it showed up for me. These adjectives were putting coating on what was actually beneath it. And it's a learning process. I feel like I'm going through the eye of the needle, and it would help me to re-listen.
So I'm hearing that there were moments when you heard some things that were really significant, like this piece that he actually said several times. I feel responsible. I feel in the middle. And to really help me to be able to dive into the depth of that.
Yeah, because he kept on that no matter what else he said about, like, I want closeness. It wouldn't make a difference that he wanted closeness until it was acknowledged that he felt responsible and he was in the middle.
Yeah, I'm in harmony with you on that. But those key pieces, we could not move forward until those pieces were really acknowledged in mind and let him sit with that and really get what is important to him about that. The need that I wrote down on that, and I wouldn't have jumped to it very quickly, but when we're telling ourselves we're responsible for how someone else feels, there's a need for freedom. Freedom to be and to trust that other people will be okay. Something along those lines. Maybe you would have empathized with it differently. But yeah, that was a real key piece for him. Thank you, Ivory. Those were important pieces to be aware of, that those things that we're hearing over and over, to stay with them. Teresa?
Well, right now, I notice at the end when things do start to go to that deeper level, there's just a sense of calmness and, I guess, connection that I feel. I'm still kind of in that right now. But getting there was a journey. It did seem that there was a long time of us reiterating similar needs. And I don't know if that's typical or just as part of this learning process.
Yes.
So for me personally, just in the mediator role, just noticing this part of me that's thinking, I guess, which it feels like a strain. And I'm wanting to just be present and just hear. And yet, I guess, just for purposes of never having mediated before, there's a lot of thinking going on that's somewhat uncomfortable. I'm looking forward to a time when that isn't as present.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that will be also something we'll bring into the practice between now and next week as well. Yeah, to get to that place where our mind is just quiet and we're just present with the other human being.
Yeah. I've noticed when I've ever am in that place, it's amazing what's heard, mm-hmm. you know, bypassing my brain. It's almost mm-hmm. like what was so evident that isn't evident to me when I'm thinking or when I'm trying to figure out what someone's saying. It's just a whole different experience.
Sounds like you're really connecting to the different sensation in your own body between trying to figure it out and being present.
Yes. And just what I hear from those two places can be really different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear when you're so busy listening to yourself and trying to figure it out. It's hard to hear the same. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you. And Giuseppe?
I resonate with what Teresa said about calmness. I noticed how the conversation has, with both of them, Ethan and Mom, has come to a place where there was more spaciousness and calm. I noticed how when we got to the point where both of them shared the different needs, when they agreed that harmony, fun, and closeness was important to both of them. In another moment also, there were another couple of needs which was common to both of them. I noticed how quickly, though, it was for them to still remain defensive and keep their own solutions alive of how they would get there. There was lots of attachment to their own strategies. And how difficult it was for us mediators at least I should speak for myself, to bring them back to the need, the importance of the need, and leave the strategies alone for some time yet. Also, I noticed in myself that at one time I was talking to Eden, and after having done some empathy, I didn't know which direction to go. And I was pleased to notice that I didn't get into panic, but I repeated back the same feeling words just to gain some time, and it worked. Because then, with the repetition, the second time around, we went into more clarity of needs, at least for me, which I could pick up and then try another round. So I'm pleased that I didn't panic and I stayed with it. That's a celebration for me. I also noticed earlier on how Eden's voice started getting trembling with anger and resentment and lots of pain because he was in the middle of all of this and didn't know how to get a break. That attracted me. I felt compassion there, and I needed to resist the temptation to sympathize instead of staying with empathy. But I noticed how that helped me open to the deeper needs. And eventually I also noticed how instead we kept going round and around with the same adjectives, with the same feeling words and the same needs. And I suspect that is quite normal in role plays because we want to stretch the exercise the longest so we can practice, I suspect. If we were in a real-life situation with all the empathy that went on, I suspect the rounds would have been much shorter, I guess. I don't know. That's what I noticed.
Thank you. I'm celebrating all that you noticed. Jackie?
I guess I want to continue with what Giuseppe was saying, because I kind of felt the same way, but I likened this to the rule of three, and I think it's, for me, the light bulb came on with understanding that it, not only for the mediator, but for the disputants, it's going to take two or three times of hearing something before you really connect with it. And I guess I'm trying to tell myself, be patient, because when we got to me, number six or seven mediator, I wanted to get going. I thought I heard the same thing over and over. But, Joy, you really brought out for me that, no, they didn't really hear each other. They may have said the words, but they really didn't connect with those needs. And we may have to say those needs again through a few discussions before they connect with that. That's kind of the light bulb that's come to me, is this being patient and realizing it's going to take time for the connections to come, and we may have to go over things a few more times. I really enjoyed this discussion. I think everyone did a fabulous job and made this pretty realistic. I could really feel all the anxieties and the feelings coming through, and that helped me play the role. Thank you.
Thank you. Jan?
It was interesting, some of the choices made around the questions about this is hard for you. Like, I guess I wouldn't have made that choice, seeing that, like, it's more of a story, and yet it seemed to work. And so I'm still a little confused about all this. And also just with my experience in the other mediation practice that I've had, where it was anything went and people were very wordy with what they offered one side or the other. But I do see that it probably helps just to highlight the needs if you keep it short. I am kind of amazed how long the process there is, if there's any with years of pain involved, how long a process it does seem to be to create connection.
Yeah, sometimes there's a deep well of need for empathy and self-connection that is continuing to trigger the pain. So just a couple things I'd like to point out and maybe use at least one of them in the practice this week. A couple times when you listen to the recording, listen for the times when someone asks the other person to reflect something else. I heard it at least twice where people added a need. I feel concerned about that because the goal is to have the first person heard. And so if we're asking the second person to reflect something that the other person hasn't said yes to, I have a concern that we're not actually fulfilling the need of asking the other person to reflect to a assured that the other person has a sense, at least, that they were heard. And the other tricky moment was, wouldn't it be that way for you? And so I'm going to throw that back into the pods to consider what need might be under that question and then what you might say to support that need.
And then another thing you can do as you listen to the call that I thought of that would be fun for me is, what would you say when there's an opportunity to reflect that might be different than what the other mediator said, or maybe it's even you the first time around? What could you have said a little bit differently that would display more presence and brevity?
And so as you're listening to the recording, if you do, notice those moments where your thinking comes in and you are feeling disconnected or you're wishing something would be different. And use that to write down what it is you just heard that you'd like to empathize with, or what it is that you would like to be different. And then you'll be able to debrief some of that in the pods. And maybe if that's still questions or comments, we can bring it into the next class.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.